The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Delighted to have all of you joining us in Getting Up Early. Michael, tell the truth. Did you buy that jacket because it perfectly matches your beard?
Just happened to match the beard. But believe me, I wish that we were in a place where I didn't need a jacket.
This is the perfect time for a solar apocalypse to happen.
Never heard of a solar apocalypse. We can talk about that another time.
Yeah, I have the privilege of working for Coach Belichick. We'll continue the conversation later tonight in the sauna.
You mean that the sauna literally or figuratively?
I got more questions. What kind of situation we got? We got towels on, towels off.
We'll have to go easy on Mike Tannenbaum. He was in a sauna with Bill Belichick. That'll scar a man.
Oh, one more thing.
Yeah.
Today is your birthday. Happy birthday, Mike.
Happy birthday. Celebrating your
birthday with 53 seconds of your beloved Jets being all jetsy. Oh, they fell for it, Mike.
That is not nice. All right, but thank you very much. It is indeed my birthday today, and I'm anticipating gifts better than that one. None of which came, by the way. Here I am. I got RC and Neek, and they're having all their fun with me. They're showing the butt fumble like on a constant loop, and yet I'm sitting here giftless. And I've said it many times, I'm a firm believer it is much better to receive than give when it comes to gifts. So that was a bit of a disappointment. Outside of that, we have a terrific hour coming your way as we cross the top of the hour here with you for the next 60 minutes. And we're getting up with Tampa Tom, who says one thing will be his biggest challenge this year. It isn't what we expected. You'll hear it right after this. Then remember this guy. You'll hear what Big Ben's coach said that should mean big things for the Steelers this fall. And then to golf. Tiger Woods finds a way to hold together what was sort of a tough round for him yesterday. I will tell you why you should be very encouraged by what you saw from LT Gray heading into round two with the PGA as we get up with you starting right now. We begin with the game of the night from the bubble, and this was a good one. The stars were out. Clippers and Mavs, that's Luka Doncic. And I just want you to watch the ball movement from Dallas, and especially a nice little dish from Luka right there. Kristaps Porzingis slamming it home. Luka, 29 points, 6 assists, and just look, with 3 Clippers all cycling around Luka Doncic, he is able to, on the no-look dish, just leaving it there for the big fella. And so Dallas looking good. Under a minute left in the first half in what was a very good game. Clippers are down a deuce. Kawhi Leonard says, not anymore. He would score 17 in the first half, 3 of 5 from 3, and the Clippers had a one-point halftime lead. Third quarter, Clippers are now up 7. And I tell you what, Ivica Zubac is something else. Look at him slamming it home. Paul George throwing it up. Zubac throwing it down. He had 21 points, 10 of 10 from the floor. 15 rebounds. To the fourth quarter we go. Mavs are down 8. Kristaps Porzingis. How about this for range? If you're a fan of the New York Knicks, just avert your eyes. Trust me, you don't want to see this. Porzingis, 30 points, 9 rebounds. Mavs cut the lead to 2, but they would get no closer. Under 6 to go. Clippers working. Kawhi, it was his night. 29 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Clippers pull away. They win it by 15. And our basketball power index says there's an 89% chance those two teams will play each other in the first round. If they do, that's good news for the Clippers. They're now 3-0 against Dallas this year. They won the first two matchups by at least 15 points. To the NFL, Tom Brady, 43 years old. He may have over 2 decades of training camp experience. He may be the greatest quarterback of all time, but he's got a lot to learn about his new offense. Here was Brady yesterday on all the challenges he's experiencing, adjusting to life as Tampa Tom.
It's been different having the opportunity, you know, over this time to, you know, move and then to, you know, for example, study my playbook. I mean, I really haven't had to do that in 19 years. So, you know, you forget, man, that's really tough. Like all the different terminologies and, you know, you're going back a very long time in my career to, you know, to really have to put the mental energy in like I did.
All right, and so my squad is here. I got D Wood, I got Dominic Foxworth, and Mike Tannenbaum. I'm coming to you first here because we talked about this earlier this morning for those of you who are with us at the beginning of the program, and there seems to be generally a confidence level that Brady will figure out this offense and that they will adapt in some ways their offense to what suits him. But I know that, Mike T, as you look at the marriage between Brady and Bruce Arians, you have a whole other concern.
Absolutely. And talking to a lot of people around the league, this is the big X factor in terms of whether or not Tom will be successful in Tampa Bay is Bruce Arians' offense, and you could go back over a number of years, Greeny, his quarterbacks get hit a lot. Tom Brady does not like to get hit. He gets rid of the ball fast, and be it from protections or from processing information, he's really good. So how will those two factors collide? The whole league is asking that same very question because Bruce wants to get the ball down the field, get chunk plays. You hold the ball, you're going to get hit. Tom wants to get rid of it quickly, and we're going to see this unfold really with no preparation in terms of offseason, joint practices, and that first game against the Saints will be very illustrative.
No quarterback likes getting hit, but obviously when you're 43 years old, it takes on a different meaning. D. Wood, you played with Brady, albeit 20 years ago. What do you expect that to look like if they're trying to run some of these plays that take a little while to develop and Brady winds up getting hit in the chops a couple times?
Well, clearly they're going to have to do – Brady's really been the most successful between the numbers. You know, that's why Gronk is that – that's why Brady – you know, lobby to get Gronk down in Tampa Bay because he's that security blanket not only in the middle of the field but in the red zone. You know, so my question is, you know, with Brady, his affinity for the passing game between the numbers, who's going to work out of the slot? You know, the tight end is going to be more featured in this offense. So there's questions because Mike T brought up a really good point. Tom Brady's strength is his ability to process information and get the ball out quickly. Well, we know in Bruce Arians' offense, they like to push the ball down the field, so how are they going to mesh the two?
You know, Dominique, I'm thinking back. Our friend Marcus Spears was on the show, and he said, if they run an offense that gets Brady hit a lot, then that is organizational malfeasance. That would be a total failure. So should they be running? Bruce Arians, look, we all know he's got that expression, no risk it, no biscuit. He wants to throw the ball down the field. Should they be doing that with Tom Brady?
I think they have to, because not only is that what Bruce Arians like, that kind of seems like how this team is built. Like, Godwin and Evans are not little slot receivers who are going to get shifty and go 6-7 yards downfield all the time. Those are big play guys. And I think that Tom Brady came down there with the with it in his mind that he's going to show people that his issue last year was that the issues the team had last year were not because of his talent, but because of the people around him. So I think they're going to have to risk it. And if Tom Brady gets hit a lot, I think it's going to be a problem. But that offensive line is going to have to step up, especially the rookie that they just drafted. They're going to have to protect him and find ways to let him excel, because I think that offense, while Tom Brady may not be suited for a big play offense like that, that offense, everybody else on that team is kind of suited for that style.
Mike T, make the last point here, and you were mentioning it earlier. We're less than 40 days away from the Buccaneers and the Saints opening the season head-to-head in a huge matchup in the division, and the advantage you see for New Orleans, especially week one.
Right. Drew Brees and Sean Payton have been together for over 14,000 snaps in their career. Bruce Arians and Tom Brady, zero. That is a massive advantage, not only in week one, Greeny, but early in the season. So Tampa will get better, but look for early in the season for the Saints to get out to a big lead.
Yeah, listen, I mean, one of those teams, assuming both make the playoffs, goes in as a wild card. It's a year that only has one bye in either conference, so there's really no time to start slowly for any of them. Meanwhile, my insider, Jeff Darlington, is with me here this morning as well. And, Jeff, I want to run the hurry up through a bunch of stuff with you. Does anyone remember Jadeveon Clowney? What's the latest on his free agency?
Well, look, Greeny, COVID concerns curtailed his free agency early on, but now it's just down to one thing, and that's money. Right now, his desire is too rich for the Seahawks, looking for more than $15 million per year. Seahawks moving in a different direction. Now Clowney will have to look elsewhere, too. Maybe the Tennessee Titans. Maybe if he's willing to come down a little bit, a team like the Cowboys could be interested. And perhaps maybe something like a one-year deal.
Next, Jeff, the Packers made a sneaky big announcement yesterday. What was it?
They did. This is a very big one. Look, the Jets and the Giants had both were first to announce they would not have fans in the 2020 season. Raiders followed 4 days later, saying no fans at all in 2020. The Packers setting a slightly different agenda, saying we're not going to have fans for the first two games, and then we'll monitor the conditions to see if we can have fans after that. I could see this setting a trend for other teams potentially doing a similar strategy moving forward.
And then finally, Tre'Davious White, critical on that Buffalo defense, announcing he will play this year. What can you tell us?
This was a big one. I talked to Bills sources who thought he was going to decide to play, but Tre'Davious White really taking it down to the wire when it came to the opt-out. He was strongly considering opting out for the season, instead has decided to play. This is a massive one. The Bills feel like a team that could take over the AFC East potentially in place of the Patriots. I don't know if they would have been able to do it without White. He is that much of a difference maker. This is a huge addition for a Bills team that sorely would need White in that backfield.
No question. And I saw this tweet the other day, and I wanted to bring this up. He posted this before he announced that he was going to play. He posted, "Crazy that me choosing my family's well-being over a game comes with so-called fans attacking and questioning me and saying I'm selfish. No, you guys are selfish for thinking that football is bigger than life. Oh, by the way, my girl's grandfather passed from COVID. You understand now." I wanted to bring this one out to the group quickly here. And Dominique, I'll start with you. Because we all understand fans sometimes, to call those people fans, if you're genuinely criticizing and questioning a person making that decision right now, then I'm not sure fan is the right word to describe you. But let's put that to the side for a moment. Now, the guys who do decide to play are making a difficult decision as well. And they're going to be in there. They're going to be blood, sweat, and tears. They're going to be all of these concerns. They're, you know, the banding together as a brotherhood and everything else. Do you think that there will be any backlash, whether it is spoken or quiet, amongst players towards their own teammates who choose not to play during this season?
I mean, I absolutely hope not, and I think not, but this is a unique situation. As many years as I've been in a locker room, and as many years as everyone's been in a locker room, no one's experienced something like this. And I like to think that everyone understands the important reasons why people would walk away. But I do understand the culture of a football team, the culture of team in general, any sort of place where you start to consider people your family and your brothers, you feel like you're dependent on them. So I think some people may be a bit disappointed if they don't get one of those guys that they're depending on for them to have success. But I think at the end of the day, we'll all understand, because all the people who have opted out, most of them at least, have given legitimate reasons. Even if opting out just because you're nervous, I find that to be a legitimate reason. But players who have opted out have given further examples of how they've had this hit close to home in their family and what type of risk they will be putting their family members at. And I think it makes sense for those guys to opt out, and it makes sense for guys to understand that that's a reasonable position to take.
Yeah, and generally speaking, when you see guys who are not with their teammates, money is the factor. Well, in this case, it's the opposite. These guys are passing up a lot of money in order to choose to opt out of the season. Damian Woody, what is your perspective on all this?
Well, listen, you know, there's a couple things. Number one, the fans, you know, have this perspective of guys that, or they just don't want to play the game. These fans got to understand, these guys, if they opt out, they're leaving a lot of money on the table, okay? So, obviously, this is a decision near and dear to these guys, not only to them, but to their families. And then number two, the thing that a lot of people aren't talking about is the after effects of COVID-19. You know, everyone looks at everything between, you know, did they pass away or, oh, did they survive? Well, we got a situation with the Boston Red Sox pitcher, Eduardo Rodriguez, where he has a heart issue related to COVID-19. You know, no one's really talking about that. So all these things have to be taken into consideration as to whether these guys, opt in or opt out of the season.
Jeff Darlington, what are you hearing from around the sport as far as potential backlash? I found that Tre'Davious White tweet yesterday. Again, he posted that before he announced his decision to play. I found that really interesting.
Well, Matt Stafford also had a false positive when it came to his COVID test. His wife came out on social media and said she was being attacked also for even going to the grocery store after a false positive. I mean, it feels like maybe everybody should just mind their own business here and focus on the fact that everybody is making very difficult personal decisions, whether it's deciding whether to send your kids to school or play in the NFL. Look, there's not much difference right now between any of the rest of us and an NFL player. We are all susceptible to the same situation, and we are all deserving of making our own personal choices. That includes someone like Tre'Davious White, who has decided to play despite his concerns. I think we should all be respectful of that.
Absolutely.
Every single decision is very personal.
That's really well said, and it's a perfect way to leave it. I'll leave it there for the moment. We'll continue. Much more football coming up, and we will talk about Tiger. Coming up, 2-under 68 for Tiger Woods in his first round of the PGA Championship. Should we expect better in round two? We're going live to Harding Park in just a couple of moments. And then we'll talk about another superstar, Odell Beckham. Not a great year in 2019. But you'll hear why 2020 should be much different for the Browns star wideout. That and much more as we continue to get up with you on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and these pictures are from about 15 minutes ago. That's Patrick Reed warming up and getting set to take the course today, round two of the PGA Championship, and we will go live to Harding Park in just a moment to check in on Tiger Woods and all the rest of the action from what is this year's first major. But first, let's get up and go around the rest of the sports news. When the opt-out deadline passed at 4 in the afternoon yesterday, 66 NFL players had officially opted out of the season because of the coronavirus. The Patriots had 8 players, by far the most of any team. Only 3 teams had no players opt out: the Steelers, the Falcons, and the Chargers. Now, opt-outs are not exclusive to the NFL. Penn State linebacker and potential top 10 pick Micah Parsons has decided to opt out of the college season. He begins preparation for the 21 draft. Todd McShay ranks him as the 6th best prospect in his top 32 player rankings. Baseball, the Marlins are hot. They're in first place, and they're going to play the Phillies 7 times in 5 days as part of baseball's reconfigured schedule released yesterday to account for 21 coronavirus-caused postponements in the first 2 weeks of the season. That should be quite a stretch, and it could go a long way towards deciding the NL East. Meanwhile, it is time for Greeny Insists We Talk About Golf, which is sponsored by ZipRecruiter, and I insist we do so because the second round of the PGA Championship is underway. Let's take a look at some of the pictures of Tiger Woods in his first round yesterday. This was his first hole, which was the 10th hole, which is a par 5. That's his third shot. He puts it just about there and makes the birdie. So he starts 1-under through one hole. Par 4, 13th here, again starting on the back nine. That's a 33-foot birdie that he makes with that new putter that he put in the bag. Gets him to 2-under through 4. He had dropped a shot, and then on the par 4, 18th, trying not to drop another. That's a long par save, over 20 feet for par, so he's still 1-under par. And then on the par 4, 5th, this is another birdie putt that's from 14 feet, and it's good. So he shoots a 268, 3 off the lead through one round yesterday. He will play in the afternoon today, and there to watch him is our own Michael Collins, who once again is wearing the jacket that matches the beard, which we appreciate. Michael, after you watch, so we talked earlier in the week, and we talked about his chances of winning based upon his back and his rust and everything else. Having watched one round, are you now more or less confident in his chances?
I have, Greeny, nervous optimism. Now, the one thing we have to remember when Tiger played in round one, he played in the morning, and there was no wind whatsoever. He only hit 7 out of 14 fairways, but every fairway he hit meant a green in regulation. He was 100% in greens and regulations from the fairway. The problem for Tiger now is the temperature is not going to be up when he plays Friday afternoon, and the wind is also going to be up. We saw that the players in the afternoon had much different wind, a lot more wind to deal with than the players in the morning. For Tiger Woods, the fingers are crossed when it comes to this. We know how his back reacted after one round at Memorial, and it was 90 degrees. Now he's played in temperatures in the 60s, and this morning it's in the 50s, and he's got plenty of time to try and keep that back warm. But hopefully when he woke up this morning, his back felt good, and it'll feel good playing in his second round. That's the hope.
We will say again, he plays in the afternoon, so we won't see him out there for a little while. We'll probably get a sense pretty quickly of how he's feeling just from body language and all the rest of that. The one thing I was encouraged by, Michael, yesterday was that he didn't have it. He was spraying it, and he did not play great, and he still managed to score, which is what made Tiger Woods the best player in the world when he was the best player in the world, was his ability to hold together around just like that.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah, it sure was, and especially having a new putter in the bag. He had 28 putts on the day, which is a really good sign. But for Tiger Woods, it's all about how he's hitting it off the tee. And if he's not hitting it great and can shoot 2 under par, that is similar to the old Tiger Woods that we could see. Now, we know going forward, though, it's a major championship. And you know what the guys in front of him are not going to do? Wait for him. You're not going to see any guys at the top of the leaderboard like Jason Day or Brooks Koepka going, hold on, Tiger, we'll play a little bit worse so you can come on up and catch us. It doesn't work that way in golf. So Tiger's going to have to actually tighten it up with the driver just a little bit and make some more putts with that new putter he's got in the bag if he wants to get in contention.
And yesterday you gave me Brooks Koepka as your pick. He was good yesterday. He's 4 under 66. Is he still your pick after one round?
Come on, man. Dance with who brung you. Yeah, Brooks Koepka. Do you think after a round where he's won back of Jason Day, he's not going to be angry and still have a chip on his shoulder? Nope. Brooks is just going to be playing angry with that chip on his shoulder all week. And you know what? I love it. This guy is the guy who's set up to be the repeat person, which is why I love him and his attitude going in. He's looking at everyone in the field going, I'm better than you. I got a better attitude than you. I know it, and you know it. And we haven't seen that in a long time in this sport.
He's trying to win his third straight PGA Championship. We'll see how he does it. Michael, enjoy the weekend. Great to see you. We'll check in Monday, and we'll see where it all winds up. Second round coverage over the 102nd PGA Championship from Harding Park in San Francisco. On TV, it starts 4 Eastern this afternoon. That's on ESPN. It'll also be on ESPN Plus, where you can stream it. And actually, the coverage on ESPN Plus has begun. They've been on the air since 10 o'clock Eastern time. To get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. But coming up, Pat McAfee already has a lot on his plate. Now he has to worry about getting beat up. Our man was issued a challenge on this program yesterday. He will respond to it live next. Don't miss Matt next here. Get up, ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and Dominic Foxworth, I want you to see the inside the park home run that Christian Yelich hit in last night's game. Just watch this. This is going to get a left field. I want you to see what Eloy Jimenez does here. This is a problem. He misplays it, and then he falls into the net. And Yelich gets all the way around the bases. Dominic, your reaction?
Baseball, I guess? I don't know. Maybe you don't need a net that close to the field? Like, I'm confused. There are no fans to protect. What are we doing?
Yeah, that's not well played in the outfield, and then that's just
that's embarrassing.
Yelich, I don't mean to laugh, but it is
good
just
speed, Yelich. Good speed.
It's just funny. Anyway, the Brewers wind up winning 8-3. Yelich running the bases for an inside the park home run. Meanwhile, to the NBA, let's run the floor through some of the NBA action, and it starts with the beard. James Harden had himself a night against the Lakers. No LeBron. Harden finished with 39 points, 12 assists, and 8 rebounds. Wait a minute. That's Dame Lillard. My bad. I started in the wrong place. Score that E1 if you're keeping track at home. That was Dame Lillard, who had a huge night, 45 points, 12 assists, as Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers beat the Nuggets. Now, as promised, here's James Harden. He had himself a night against the Lakers, who played without LeBron. Harden finished with 39 points, 12 assists, 8 rebounds. Rockets cruised to a win over the Lakers and currently hold the number 4 spot in the West. Elsewhere, despite trailing by as many as 23, Giannis and Chris Middleton combined for 66 points. Bucks found their rhythm, went on a 20-0 run, and beat the Heat 130-116. So, Milwaukee clinches the number 1 seed in the East. Out West, Zion scored 24 points, 10 of 12 from the floor. Pelicans lose to the Kings. Zion now 515 points. He's the fastest to 500 in his career since Allen Iverson once upon a time. But again, a tough loss for the Pelicans in their quest to make the playoffs. And then Sixers star Ben Simmons suffered a subluxation of his left patella during Wednesday's win over the Wizards. So he's out. He's considering his treatment options, according to the team. A subluxation of the patella basically means the kneecap popped out of place but returned on its own. That is one that is worth keeping an eye on. Meanwhile, speaking of something worth watching, we turn our attention now to the WWE and our very own Pat McAfee. That's our buddy, and his war of words with Adam Cole continued on NXT on Wednesday night, leading McAfee to doing exactly what he does best, which is kick Cole to the ground. Take a look at this. He ran up and he punted a human being. So, Triple H joined our show yesterday and issued this challenge.
My call out to Pat McAfee is put your money where your mouth is. Let's see how bad you are. Pat McAfee versus Adam Cole on that stage. Massive match. Let's see what you got, Pat. You think you're the tough guy? There's going to be no pads. There's going to be nobody kicking a ball. There's just going to be two guys one-on-one going at it. And my bet is that while Pat can run his mouth well, and I'm sure he's a tough guy, that he walks out with Adam Cole's boots sticking out of his butt.
Ooh, and so here he is on his honeymoon, Pat McAfee, with his response. What do you, Pat McAfee, have to say to Triple H?
Well, Greeny, happy belated birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
Triple H was saying a lot of terrible things about me, disparaging things about me on your show yesterday, which I frequent and watch every single morning, and you didn't say a single thing for me, Greeny. Just would like to let that be known, just here or there, but 2 weeks away. SummerSlam weekend, NXT TakeOver 30 Saturday night. I got 2 weeks to prepare for this guy who's been wrestling for 12 years. Over a decade, this man has been traveling around the globe wrestling. He was in Ring of Honor. He was in New Japan. He was in CZW. This guy has made a living wrestling for over a decade now. Some consider him the next Shawn Michaels, the next best wrestler of all time. And in 2 weeks, I'm going to walk in there and beat his ass, Greeny. I accept the challenge for sure. And this thigh right here, bang, is going to be another kick to the mouth. You got to do what you got to do. Now, I have a lot of respect for that man. I have a lot of respect for the business. But getting to do this is going to be awesome. It's going to be a dream come true. And now, since I enjoy vitamins a lot, I got to figure out my cardio so I don't puke all over the ring.
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack in all of the things that you just said. So I like how you segued from kicking him into your enormous respect that you have for him. That I suppose is part and parcel of this. But do you know how to do this? I you know how to talk and you know how to punt. But do you have any idea how to do what you're going to now have to do in the ring in a couple of weeks?
Greeny, I've always said I'm not a person that's supposed to have money. Okay, my family was not a family that was supposed to have money. As soon as I got money, I started buying dumb things. The day I got drafted, I bought a Cadillac Escalade, okay? Because I thought I had enough money to afford an Escalade. Little did I know that a signing bonus does not mean that money just hops into your bank account the same day. I had to wait 3 months. Almost got my car repo, okay? And then once I found out that the internet is a treasure trove of things that you can buy from all across this world, I bought some sheep from Australia at one point. And one night, when I was a little bit intoxicated, I bought a wrestling ring. a full-size wrestling ring, and I put it in my barn. It showed up in my house a couple months later. I forgot that I bought it. I set that thing up, and I've ran the ropes a couple times. I've taken a couple bumps. I've trained with a guy named Rip Rogers, who trained John Cena, Randy Orton, Batista, Brock Lesnar, you name it. But I have no idea what I'm doing in there, and that's why the next 14 days are so big. August 22nd, NXT TakeOver 30. I have to not look like an idiot like the Saturday Night Live guys that have gotten in the ring before. I have to go in there and do my thing, not get injured, and hopefully put on for the NFL. Now, granted, a large portion of the NFL is not going to be happy that I'm representing them, but I'm going to do this for the punters and the kickers, and I'm going to be an athlete out there, and I'm going to walk out undefeated like I'm Goldberg back in the day. Who's going to be next?
And very quickly, do you have a name? Like I've watched wrestling like crazy when I was a kid. Georgia Championship Wrestling, World Championship Wrestling, Gordon Solie. Back in those days, that's when I grew up watching the sport. And most of the really good guys had a name. Are you the punter, the kicker? Like what would you like your name, your wrestling name to be?
Someone get that. Pat McAfee, who's currently getting a call in the middle of his hold on. I'm the guy who's about to go hang up on
Stand by. We continue for a moment here. That's a turtle that seems to be behind Pat for no obvious reason. Go ahead.
Okay, so now I'm just going to be Pat McAfee. You know, if I could be anybody else, I would be, obviously. I wish I could be Peyton Manning. I wish I could be Tom Brady. I wish I could be a little bit more handsome. I'm just going to be me. And to be honest, I don't think I'm smart enough to come up with a better name. So I'm going to be Pat McAfee. I'm going to go in there. I'm probably going to look a little flabby, a little bit out of shape. You know, legs like a Greek god, upper body of an adolescent. And I'm just going to enjoy the hell out of this thing and hopefully get a win for all of us out here.
Okay, while I've got you here, those of you who know you from my show, or people who know you from my show, I've heard you talk a lot of football. Can I ask you a couple of quick football questions, the things that we've been kicking around here?
Would love to. I've been keeping track of it all on my phone out here on the island, and I cannot wait to chat about the football world getting back into things.
Okay, Aaron Rodgers needs help. Antonio Brown needs a job. Does that seem like a marriage waiting to happen to you, Antonio Brown to Green Bay? Does it make sense, yes or no?
Greeny, it would make sense if it wasn't Gunter Kuntz making the decisions. Okay, you got to remember, this Green Bay Packers team was one game away from the Super Bowl last year. One game away. They gave up 186 yards before contact in the rushing department against the San Francisco 49ers. So did they address that issue in the draft or free agency? Absolutely not. Their two best players, a lot of people would say, were Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones last season. They decided to address that with the first round and the second round draft pick. Then they bring in Funches. Funches is opting out for the season. Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams is an absolute stud. Aaron Jones is going to be great. That offensive line can make things happen, but they have handicapped Aaron Rodgers his entire career. And now we're in a situation where after the 8-game suspension, potentially more with the civil suit that's coming with Antonio Brown, who knows what's going to come of all that. But boy, that game 9, if Aaron Rodgers was able to ignite an Antonio Brown, who's on a revenge tour, I think that would be fantastic. But that would make too much sense. And that Gunter Kuntz guy has no clue what he's doing. So I would not bank on it.
All right, next one, we'll talk about another aging legendary quarterback, and that's Tom Brady. We've been showing pictures the last few days. He's actually working out on the field with his new teammates and everything else. He's talking about learning terminology and learning a new offense, and we're bringing up the concerns about him getting hit a lot because that's the offense that Bruce Arians typically has run. You know that, obviously. Bruce was running the offense there in Indianapolis when you were playing there. What are your expectations? Because I haven't talked to you in a while. What are your expectations for Brady and the Bucs this year?
I think Tom and the Bucs are going to be damn good. I honestly do. And if you look at Tom, obviously you're talking about the greatest quarterback of all time, but now he somehow yet again has something to prove. Well, can he do it without Bill Belichick? That's what everybody's asking. Can the greatest quarterback of all time do it without the greatest coach of all time? So now Tom Brady has somehow, and if you listen to that Howard Stern conversation that he had, everything's about framing situations in his mind. So in his mind, he probably thinks that people think he's the worst quarterback on earth. He's going to come out with something to prove. He's got Gronk back now, right? And Gronk got that 95 rating on Madden. People lost their mind. But I think people have forgotten about how damn incredible Rob Gronkowski is on the football field. O.J. Howard, I just lost my earpiece. O.J. Howard's there. Godwin's there. Evans there. Now they bring in Shady, even though they say Ronald Jones is the guy. And you got Bruce Arians, one of the greatest coaches of all time. Clyde Christensen, who was quarterback coach to Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, and now Tom Brady. You have a swan song of coaching staff, including Bowles on the defensive side that got a lot better towards the end of the year. The NFC South is going to be stacked. It's going to be fun to watch. but I have high expectations for this Bucks team. And that might be because I'm, you know, live in the moment type of guy and I can ride the wave of excitement. But you got to remember with Tom Brady, he loves that check down pass. And with all the weapons, they'll be able to stretch out that defense. And I don't have a touchscreen like Dan Orlovsky does, but I don't know how you defend everybody and still have that Ronald Jones, LeSean McCoy check down that are definitely going to make the first person miss. Can't go broke gaining yards. And I think the Bucks are going to do a lot of that until they finally hit their long shot. I like the Buccaneers a lot. I think Tom Brady's going to prove himself yet again to be the greatest quarterback of all time. It doesn't matter if there is a cutoff sweatshirt in Ernie Adams up in the skybox with Josh McDaniels.
Let's talk about the man with the sweatshirt, though, and that's Belichick. One of the topics this morning is whether or not Cam Newton has the type of personality that can handle the kind of coaching Bill Belichick is famous for. He was known, and we had Damian Woody talking about it, who played for him, for wearing out Tom Brady when Brady would make mistakes, and any other stars. He doesn't treat anybody any differently. Cam, some people speculate, may not have the right kind of personality for that kind of coaching. What do you think the marriage of Belichick and Cam Newton is going to look like?
I think everybody's talking about Cam Newton that was and not the Cam Newton that is. And if you looked at that interview that he did with Odell Beckham Jr. and Victor Cruz on, I think it was Odell's YouTube, and you've been watching any of his iconic saga production videos on the internet, you see a much more humble and driven Cam Newton, I think, than the guy who was once MVP candidate, Super Bowl contender, and the guy who knew and did everything right at Carolina. I think Cam Newton's charisma is a beautiful thing. I like whenever people enjoy the hell out of what they're doing. I like whenever you're a guy who brings your entire team up to your level and gets excitable. I like whenever you're confident as hell because nobody's been able to stop you ever in your entire life, high school, JUCO, college, or even in the NFL once he figured it out. But then he got slapped in the face with a little humility. He was cut after some quarterback positions were made. He spent 86 days without a job. He talked about that a lot. 86 days. And then he goes on his iconic saga productions on the internet making videos where he's like, hey, I don't know what to expect from this Cam because I've never been this Cam. I've never been a Cam that's been told I'm not wanted somewhere. I've never been a Cam that's been doubted before. And I think Bill Belichick is going to harness that because Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. And all the people that think Cam Newton and Bill won't be able to get along, I think they're judging it off of previous Cam Newtons as opposed to the current Cam Newton. And also, anytime you have two people who have the very same thought process, which is to hell with everybody, I think they're going to get along, and I think Cam Newton will be able to do what he's got to do, and Bill Belichick will be able to find the best Cam Newton we have seen yet, and somehow he's only paying him $1 million. Bill Belichick did it again.
All right, McAfee, here's what I want you to do. Find your earpiece, answer your phone, and hang on a minute. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with more. Pat McAfee, again, getting set to get in the ring in 2 weeks with WWE to fight Adam Cole. He's going to come back and talk more football with us in just a moment. We're going to talk about... That was a flattering shot. Coming up, the NFL is filled with great receivers. Who is the one Dominique Foxworth would most dread lining up against? He'll answer that question. McAfee will continue with us. And look who's on the range right now. Phil Mickelson getting set to go out and play his round two of the PGA Championship. The action as we speak is on ESPN+. Michael Collins is hanging out watching with a jacket that matches his beard. We're back in a moment. Get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and as we speak, coverage of the second round of the PGA Championship is underway on ESPN+. There's Bryson DeChambeau, who shot a 68 yesterday, playing in the afternoon. Most of the really good scores were shot in the morning, so that was a good performance for the most talked-about player in the sport, for those who follow it closely. We'll keep a close eye on him and more. Again, the PGA Championship round two on ESPN+, and then on ESPN TV this afternoon. Meanwhile, back to the NFL. Patrick Mahomes became the first quarterback in NFL history to win a league MVP and a Super Bowl before he turned 25. And then last month, he did something else pretty cool. The Chiefs gave him the largest sports contract in history, tying him to KC through the year 2031. It's worth all, basically, if all goes well, $500 million. We continue with Pat McAfee, who again is getting set to wrestle in 2 weeks. But I have not talked to you since this happened. So, McAfee, I wanted two thoughts from you on that. First, what was your reaction to the contract and to Mahomes tying himself to Kansas City for that length the way he did?
I loved it. I loved everything about it. Obviously, you're going to ask any player that has ever played in the NFL, as soon as they hear that $500 million contract has been laid on the table, they're going to love it. Now, granted, there's always going to be people that are going to come and say, oh, he got a bad deal. 5 years from now, who knows what the quarterback market's going to be? 7 years from now, it's going to be, who knows? The Chiefs stole it. It's like, yo, it's $500 million to play football. Okay, so unless you come from generational wealth where you have billions and billions of dollars in your family's name. To sign for $500 million to play football is game-changing, it's revolutionary, and to be honest, it's everything that Patrick Mahomes is. The guy is unbelievable. He has a great work ethic. We saw him the day after the Super Bowl practicing. He has a great personality. He loves ketchup, which makes him relatable to me. And what he's going to do with Andy Reid for the next decade, I think, is unbelievable. I like that the Chiefs had enough faith in Patrick Mahomes to get this deal done, and I like that Patrick Mahomes had enough trust in the Chiefs to get this deal done. That doesn't happen a lot, especially in big negotiation with this type of money. $500 million, I love it. I love everything about it, and I hope he gets every single drop of it. And I hope after year eight, they renegotiate, and he's up near the $750 million range.
Quickly, you said you love everything he's going to do there. What's he going to do when it's all said and done? How many rings are you going to have?
I have no idea, because that is such a health factor. You got to see who's healthy and who isn't healthy on your team. But 19 of their 22 offensive and defensive starters are back. It would have been 20 of 22, but their one offensive lineman's going to save the world. The fact that they have that continuity, especially with this offseason that's happening, and Andy Reid's big old brain and Patrick Mahomes' leadership, and you still have the Cheetah who can run a 4-2 still if he has to, and Travis Kelce, and Sammy Watkins, and Tyrann Mathieu on the defensive side, Chris Jones, what? They are ready to go for the long haul, and I think the NFL is excited that the Patriots dynasty, the greatest thing in professional sports, could have potentially just ended, even though they could start a new one. But now the Chiefs are ready to take that place, and there's a new king in the AFC, and it's the kingdom of the Chiefs.
All right, McAfee, it is great to see you. Now, you listen closely to me, all right, because you know we love you here. You just got married. You have everything in the world. Do not get yourself hurt in this thing in 2 weeks, okay? I don't care what else. Don't get yourself hurt in the ring in 2 weeks.
You better tell him the same thing, Greeny. I'm going to kick his ass.
Okay. He's got the patter ready to go. The great Pat McAfee. Good luck, my man. We'll see you in the ring in a couple of weeks, and we'll see you soon. He is genuinely on his honeymoon as we speak. McAfee, thank you. Meanwhile, let's talk about Odell Beckham Jr. We all know he did not have a great season last year. He was hampered by a sports hernia much of the year, but he's healthy now. And as he's paired with a new head coach and a quarterback with a lot of promise, Pro Football Focus projects OBJ to have a big bounce back year, excluding his injury shortened 2017. Last year was a career low across the board for OBJ. 74 catches, just over 1,000 yards. Again, for most people, those are pretty good numbers. Only 4 touchdowns. As you can see, in his standard, in his history, those are not good numbers. So I want to talk about him, and then I want to get Dominique into something. But D. Wood, what do you expect from OBJ this year in what will be a new offense?
Well, listen, I definitely think he's going to improve upon those numbers. But when you talk about big, what are we talking here? Are we talking Michael Thomas big? Because I don't think he's going to put up those type of numbers. There's not enough balls to go around in Cleveland. I mean, you got to remember, Jarvis Landry had over 1,100 yards last year. They signed Austin Hooper, the free agent tight end out of Atlanta, to that offense. And oh, by the way, you have Nick Chubb, who rushed for almost 1,500 yards last year. So how many balls can possibly go around? I do think Odell Beckham Jr. is going to improve upon those numbers, particularly the touchdowns. But to think he's going to have a Michael Thomas type year, I'm not buying that.
Well, I'm glad you brought up another receiver, because this was the homework assignment that we gave to Dominique Foxworth. As we were considering Odell Beckham, who we know makes opposing defensive backs scared to death, we asked you to list the top 5 receivers, Nick, as a corner, that you would least like to cover in the NFL right now. Not the 5 best, right, but the 5 guys that right now you wouldn't sleep a wink all week long getting set to play on a Sunday. Who are your 5? Go.
You might be surprised, but I'm going to go number 5 is Julio Jones. I think he is probably one of the best receivers in the league. I'd probably put him number 1, but he doesn't have the short area quickness that I think kind of terrified me as a defensive back, like speed and short area quickness. Be able to shake you out of your shoes and then run past you. Julio Jones can run past you. He can out-jump most guys. He can power through most guys, but I'd rather deal with a big guy like Julio Jones that is going to run straight line speed than deal with some of these other guys. Next, I got Stephon Diggs. Diggs is a problem out there. I know we didn't get he doesn't get much attention, being that he is in Buffalo now and he was in Minnesota, but I think covering him is very difficult. He hasn't had the best quarterbacks around him, but if you watch him play, there's very few guys that can stay close to him on the routes that he runs, that can press him off the line, and then if he gets behind you, you're not going to catch him. He is a problem with the right quarterback. He's the guy who you watch on film, and you get a little stressed out. You get a little sweaty, you start to get a little clammy, and you're trying to figure out what you're going to do because you can't take everything away from a guy like that. Then the next guy is a guy who's not in the league right now, but still is quite scary. AB. AB is the exact kind of prototype of a guy that I would hate guarding because he's one of those guys who's going to shake you and also run past you. And with the ball in his hand, he's not looking to get down. He's looking to score no matter what. You can't hit him out of the game. You can't press him out of the game. You can't out-physical him. He's an exceptional player, and you just hope that maybe you can talk trash to get him out of his mindset because you're not going to be able to cover him otherwise. And then I got Odell Beckham. He fits in that same category. He's a little taller. He has some of the best hands, though his hands aren't always consistent. He can catch just about anything. He's also a guy who has 4-3 speed, can run past you, a guy that you cannot stay in front of. You can put him in a slot. He's going to shake you in a slot. You're not going to be able to press him, and he has the straight line speed to make you pay. Big playability, I think, is the most important thing that you can have on any offense, is a receiver that can get behind the defense, a receiver that's going to need the attention of the defensive coordinator, which is why Tyreek Hill is the most scary receiver to cover for me in the league, because he is a guy that when you are in your meeting room, especially paired with a quarterback like he has that can throw it to him no matter where he is on the field, he is a guy where you are devising your entire scheme around stopping him from breaking your defense. And I understand there are a lot of guys that are very great receivers that I left off this list, but I left them off that list in part because I feel like you can stay close to them. You'll keep them to 5, 6, 10-yard gains, maybe 15-yard gains. Every play, Tyreek Hill is a guy who you're going to need to double cover or else he will break your entire defense. I'd be terrified if I had to guard him. I'm so happy I'm sitting here talking to you, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, he, guys like him are probably the reason that you're sitting here talking to me instead of out there chasing them anymore. D. Wood, I'm trying to read the look on your face. What's with that look?
Any list that got Julio Jones at 5 is crazy. Like, no, let's be real. Listen, I know I'm getting small and I'm not a cornerback, but damn it, I'm having Julio Jones at least in my top 2. How you gonna put Antonio Brown?
I'm telling you, the man hasn't been seen
in like over a year over Julio Jones. Make it make sense to me, man.
My homework was to say the guys I struggle with. I can go back through my career, big guys I was good against. Them little shifty dudes, they're a problem. I'm just telling you.
That was Neek's list. That's the thing. You can't disagree with his
list,
no matter how insane part of it seems to be. Meanwhile, we let you know that coming up here on ESPN on First Take, LeBron didn't play last night. Lakers lost to the Rockets. Is Houston the team that LeBron needs to worry about the most out West? First Take will answer that question and more. They're up next, 5 minutes from right now on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by the number one brand in prepaid, Metro by T-Mobile, and by Burger King. Mix and match your favorites for just $5. And that is all the time that we have for Get Up this morning. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I'll be watching golf. I hope you will, too. I'll see you back here on Monday. First Take starts now.